God's word for you, 1 Corinthians 11, verses 1 and 2. Be imitators of me, as I am of Christ. I commend you, brothers, because you remember me in all things, and you maintain the teachings as I have delivered them to you. Paul doesn't tell us to imitate him because he's a perfect example. No one is. No one should follow the pattern of another person simply based on that person's human traits. This will only and inevitably lead to disappointment on account of the sinful human nature. What we thought was an important character trait in someone could easily turn out to be a moment when the one we were following was just doing a good job of following someone else. No, Paul urges us to imitate him only because he imitates Christ. This is how we can be a great help to one another. If I imitate Christ and struggle with that, then I can help someone else who struggles, even if our struggles are very different. If someone looks to me for guidance but struggles with, say, sexual temptations like the son of Solomon, Rehoboam, in Proverbs chapter 5, well, maybe my struggles with some other temptation can still be encouraging. For example, Paul says he wouldn't have known what coveting really was except that the law showed him what coveting really is. Sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of covetous desire, he says in Romans 7:8. No matter what sins or temptations we're talking about, Paul's advice is best. Flee from idolatry. That's 1 Corinthians 10:14. Flee the way Joseph fled from Potiphar's wife in Genesis 39. So advice about one sin, for example, idolatry, benefits a brother with temptations for another kind of sin, adultery. So I hope we can all see that we can benefit one another as we all imitate Christ and encourage each other to do the same. As Professor Lenski says so aptly, those who imitate Christ have a right to call upon others to imitate them. What a good example Paul sets by saying, I commend you, brothers. It's a hard and cruel man who finds nothing good to say about people, but Paul sees that the Corinthians truly want to know what he says about this and that matter. And even now, when there was evidently no question that they had asked about the next topic, he will take up a touchy subject, the coverings women wear on their heads, hats, scarves, wraps, and other things. Now, before he takes this up fully, he lets them know that it's good that they maintain the teachings he has given to them. Some translations opt for traditions here rather than teachings. A paradisis, that's the Greek word, is a handing over of things. Now, this can be a handing over someone for arrest, as in Jeremiah 39:4, or for destruction, as in Jeremiah 34:2, or a tradition that's handed down, like in Mark 7:13 or Colossians 2:8. Those are both false traditions. But some writers use this of Christian teachings in general. Keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teaching you have received from us, Paul says, 2 Thessalonians 3:6. And Jesus commanded, make disciples by teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, Matthew 28:20. That part of the Great Commission is the proclamation of the Word of God and its explanation, which is really all of our preaching and teaching. Now, if we summarize it, as we do in the creeds and the catechism, to make it easier to remember, we do not do it any disservice. If we categorize it and bring in many passages, bringing them all together that all discuss or proclaim the same teaching as we do in dogmatics, well, we also do it no damage or disservice. And if we present the Bible's teachings with, say, good illustrations and appropriate stories, we do not follow in are we rather not following in the methods of Jesus and the prophets? These methods are tools for Christian learning. They benefit the people of God, and not only the children, although we most often have the children in mind. Guard my teachings, Solomon said, as the apple of your eye, Proverbs 7, verse 2. And then again, write them on the tablet of your heart. Whatever we can do to remember God's holy word is a good thing. Read his holy word. Turn it over and over in your mind. Paraphrase it with your own words and ask, does that make it more clear or less? Whichever answer is right, you will only be the better for having done it, so that the commandments and teachings of the Lord are written on the tablets of your hearts. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's Word for you.